This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Is he anybody's one thing in here? If he is, I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, he's my one thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful praise set. Sunday school, you may be dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. We're going to go down to verse 13. Actually, let's start at verse 11. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And I want to focus on verse 13. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. Today, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach for just a little while on this thought, dealing with the ashes of yesterday. Dealing with the ashes of yesterday. If you would, lay your Bibles down. We're going to pray one more time. Father, we love you, and I'm so thankful to have this opportunity to minister. I'm thankful for the Spirit and your presence that we felt in this place during a praise and worship. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, Lord, to give what you give to me. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Biblically, the origin of altars goes all the way back, we find, in the Old Testament when Noah built an altar to offer sacrifices after the flood. When we look at Genesis chapter 8 verse 1, it says this, "But God remembered Noah and all the animals and livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. And now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain stopped falling from the sky. And the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and from the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible." And verse 20 goes on to say this, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Following that, there were many references to the altar, beginning with Abraham and continuing through the New Testament. The altar was used to make animal sacrifices unto the Lord. It was at the altar that once a year they would atone for the sin by this innocent sacrifice, and they would spill the blood of an animal on the altar. Altars were often erected in places where the Lord had accomplished some great work. Later, the Israelites had altars in the tabernacle in the desert where they would offer unto the Lord. You know, it's still in order. While we don't have blood sacrifices today, we do bring a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. We do bring sacrifices to the Lord. There are some things that we sacrifice in our life unto our Lord. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. The Lord gave them very detailed instructions about where the altar was to be placed, how it was to be built. But the main function of the altar was for sacrifice, and special care had to be taken care of it because it was holy. Can I tell you, we all need to have altars in our lives. We all need to have that holy place where we come before the Lord and we offer him something of ourselves. Amen. Amen. And there was extra special care in getting rid of the ashes. You see, once a sacrifice had been consumed, they had to make sure to be rid of the ashes. Why was this important? I'm glad you asked. I'll answer by telling you what I have learned. You see, how many of us have a wood-burning fireplace or some type of fireplace in our home? It is important that after, I love a wood-burning fireplace. This winter, we opened up the doors to our little wood-burning fireplace, and we put our little logs in there, and the fire would just crackle and pop and make my wife a nervous wreck because she was afraid a hot ember was going to come out and burn a rug, and it was intense, but it was soothing. And I loved it because it kept us warm. But the problem is, if we had a fire that lasted an extended amount of time, it would accumulate ashes. And what would happen with those ashes while in the process it was keeping us warm, in the process it was beautiful to wash, after it was all done, there was a mess to be cleaned up, because if I tried to build a fire on top of the ashes, it would be smothered by the ashes. Now here's what God dropped in my spirit about that passage. Many of us need to go into a prayer and worship position and begin to remove the ashes from our life. We have some ashes of our past that are smothering what God wants to do in our future. We have some remnants of what used to be that is smothering what God wants to do. It's probably, look, I'm going to tell you, some of you are wondering why you can't get a breakthrough. You're wanting that breakthrough. How many of us have ever experienced a breakthrough? There's just nothing like it whenever you get that breakthrough in God, where it just all the chains fall off. And you're wondering, why can't I get that breakthrough? It's because you're still dealing with the ashes of yesterday. But today, I'm here to tell you that we're going to clean it out with the help of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. You want God to bless your finances, but you still ain't got your money right. You want God to give you a home, but your blessings being delayed because you haven't dealt with the ashes of yesterday. You want God to fix your marriage, but you want everything your way. Can I tell you, marriage is a two-way street, and not one person gets everything their way, amen? We don't work at Burger King. You don't get to have it your way. It's a team sport. You have to, look, you have to bend. You have to learn how to bend. You have to learn how to give a little. Amen. Anybody been married for a little while know that you got to give a little? I better get an amen over here. Amen. We were just talking about this morning. You want to be used by God, but you haven't learned to get along with people. Well, I'll go ahead and say it. You want to fuss. Look, I'm going to tell you, God, if you decide you want to minister, God's going to put people in your way that's going to bring every bad thing out of you. God is going to put somebody directly in your path that's going to bring up everything that you've ever dealt with so you can get it out in the open. I preached in Shelbyville this morning that there's a purpose in everything that happens, and I'm going to try not to get into that message, but something good can come out of where you're at right now. You might be in the middle of a mess, but God can bring something good out of it. It doesn't. There is purpose in everything. God didn't send it, the devil did, but God can make something beautiful out of it. Amen. I've already preached that message. Let me go on. God wants someone to know that he's trying to feed you a full course anointing. He's trying to give you what you need, but you are holding on to what used to be. Look, that can be good and bad. Yeah, look, I've got some great testimonies, but I can't hold on to what happened yesterday and think that that's going to sustain me today. It's just like the manna sent from heaven. If you held on to that, dude, it turned into worms. But when you trusted God every day, it was renewed every morning. Can I tell you, what happened yesterday is not good enough for today. You need a today anointing. You've got to clean out the ashes and let God do what he's going to do. I'm going to... Some of you are walking around saying, I want to be anointed like I used to be. Why do you want to go to some place you've already been when God wants to take you further than you've ever been? He wants to give you a bigger Sunday school class than you ever had. He wants to see your best worship. Not the used to be worship, but the new worship. But you will never get there until you deal with what used to be and clean it out. All he can give you right now is just a little bit because you're still dealing of what used to be. You know what I've learned about ashes? There's three things I've learned. First of all, that ashes are bitter. No one in their right mind is going to sit around and eat ashes. Closest thing I come to that is marshmallows, amen? You get them real good and toasty, and they're black, they're on fire. You're walking around with them, a torch. Anybody ever walk around with a marshmallow on your end of your poker like a torch? You're like, look at me. I'm 52 years old. I still do that. I love them, though. Well, man, you bite into that dude, and it's crunchy, but it's ashes. That's the only time that ashes taste okay. Well, maybe on a hot dog, too. Keep going, Lawson. But nobody likes eating wood ashes, amen? Because ashes are bitter. Some of us have been eating the ashes of painful experiences for way too long. Some of us have been rehashing what went wrong for way too long. Can I tell you? It's in the past. It happened. But what you can do today is you can get better from it. You can clean out the ashes of yesterday and say, today is a brand new day. Today is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm leaving yesterday, yesterday. I've said this before, nobody in their right mind is going to pull out of this parking lot and keep their eyes fixed on their rear view mirror. Because what's going to happen is you're going to end up in a wreck. You have that big windshield, that's your future. And you have that little rear view mirror, that's your past. You can remember where God brought you from, but don't you stay focused on that thing because you'll wreck. You've got a bright future ahead of you. Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews 12 and 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Hey, have you ever been so angry or so frustrated by a situation that you take it out on somebody who has absolutely nothing to do with it? You come home. I feel a spirit right here. You come home and your boss, your manager, whoever it is, act a fool all day, done cussed at you, and you bring it home and unload on your spouse, and they had nothing to do with it, but that's who you find to let go on. Come, can I tell you, you need to quit that mess, amen? Because that's ashes. Some of us snap at our husbands and our wives for stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with this. We'll punish our children because of something that our kids did. No, something that our parent, our spouse did. Some of us even kick the dog. Anybody kick the dog? Don't kick the dog. If I kick the dog, I'm dead. Because we've allowed the root and soot of bitterness to defile us. Look at your neighbor and say, don't take it out on me. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm not going to take my ashes out on you. What I've discovered is the enemy loves to keep in my face the stuff that hurt me yesterday. He likes to bring it right up. You remember when they did this? Remember how that hurt? Remember what they said about you? My God. Remember when they said they were going to be there for you and they weren't? Remember when you heard them talk? Look, remember what they did to you? See, that is the ashes of yesterday. There are people all over that have had abuse that's happened years ago that still dictates their life today because they refuse to deal with the ashes and let it go. But can I tell you, in the name of Jesus, he wants to come in here today and help you deal with the things that happened yesterday and the day before, the things that you've held on to because they hurt so bad. He wants to make you miserable. Can I tell you, holding on to that type of bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the person that offended you dies. When you hold on to that, the only person that you're holding back and hurting is yourself. And what happens is you begin to, you're bleeding because of this incident, and all you're doing is bleeding on everyone around you instead of healing. You need to understand that the enemy tries to come and steal from you the morning joy that the God's word promises you. You say, weeping's going to endure for a night. Everybody experiences hard times. Everybody has their measure of fiery trials. Everybody goes through a little something. It may not be at the same time you did, but I guarantee you they went through it. It might not be exactly like what you went through, but I guarantee you they went through something too. The difference is when you come in here and you see people smiling, it's because they gave it to God. They realized that they couldn't do anything with it, and they found a Savior who said, take my yoke. My burden's easy, and my yoke is light. We don't have to hold that anymore. But the enemy wants to steal that joy by keeping you focused on yesterday. They're bitter. Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I've come to take off what the devil put on you. You don't have to wear that anymore. How many of us have ever been called names? Yeah, buddy. Some of us have been called some ugly names. Look, Sister Deanna, I've walked up on people. I was 8 years old. People talking about me. I was eight. Tell me I wasn't going to be nothing more than an alcoholic like my daddy was. I was 8 years old. I didn't even know what an alcoholic was. I'd never had my first taste of alcohol. I'd never done anything like that. But they had already attributed to me that I was going to be exactly like that. Do you know how words affect people? The most inaccurate statement I've ever heard in my life is sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That is hogwash. Because I'm going to tell you right now, names will hurt you. It will tear you down inside. But can I tell you, there was a name I took that was greater than every other name. It was the name of Jesus. And when I had that name applied to my life, everything changed. It didn't matter everybody else's opinion about me, because he began to remove the things that the world put on me. He never put it there. The enemy and the world put it there. Look, I'm going to tell you, his thoughts toward me are good and not evil, to give me an expected end. He wants you to make it. He wants to see you do something amazing. You just have to embrace it. You have to deal with the ashes that somebody else left. I believe that the reason the enemy attacks us at different levels of intensity at any given time is that he's literally peeked into our futures and saw what God's going to do with us. How many of us, it feels like the enemy has just put us in a full Nelson and won't let up? Yeah, buddy. Because there's something in you. There's a gift that's in you. I know you guys have probably heard this saying, but thieves don't break into empty houses. The enemy, the reason you're getting wore out, it's because the enemy sees something valuable in you and knows that if you ever get loosed, you're going to be a real problem in his kingdom. You're going to cause trouble in his kingdom. You're going to shake up some things. Can I tell you, that's your God-given gift? God said ordained you for that. Don't you keep running from it. Deal with the ashes of yesterday that God can give you a prosperous life. He wants to use you in ways that you had no idea. believe this is why Paul said in Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We get so caught up in yesterday that we cannot pursue our tomorrow. We get so weighted down, but Jesus wants to remove that. Have you ever noticed how intensely or how ferociously the devil attacks you just after you've been in a red hot service? Whenever that you made some declarations, I'm going to do this for you, Jesus. I'm going to break these shackles off, Jesus. I ain't going back to this, Jesus. And I'm going to, Lord, I'm going to be your number one fan. And then you walk out the church doors and all of hell is unleashed on you. That is the device of the enemy. That's how the enemy works. When you make a declaration, I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to prepare you. Because that's how the enemy works, because he knows how effective you will be. You see, when you make those declarations, he's not leaning back saying, yeah, right. He's not. He knows exactly that if you get a hold of who you are and whose you are, when you get the understanding that that same power lives in me, that the Holy Ghost lives in me, that I can overcome all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am going to make a difference. He stands at attention and he'll show up right just after you came out of Bible study. You'll get a revelation and he'll come. You'll walk out the door and be like, pop. He'll pop you right between the eyes. Oh, yeah? He'll come when you just finished getting your shout on. You run a lap and then you walk outside. He goes, oh, we running now after you just did this? After what you did last week, you running aisles now. After you had that attitude with your husband, you going to shout now. You going to sing now. After you talk to your wife that way, you're going to minister now. See, because that's the way the enemy does. He wants to bring up your past. But can I tell you, once you repent of it, it's gone. You, once you deal with the ashes of that thing and remove them, they're gone. The Lord ain't going to lay that to your charge. That's not how my God works. He wants to move you forward. He wants to help you deal with those ashes. Ashes are bitter, but not only are they not bitter, but secondly, they provide no strength. There's absolutely no nutritional value in ashes, whether they be on marshmallows or hot dogs or the char on the steak. There's no nutritional value in them. We will grow weaker by the day if we only feed on ashes. Psalms 102:4 says this, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. And then he says in Psalms 102:9, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. In other words, David is saying, I became so busy dealing with yesterday's junk that I forgot to eat the bread of life. I got so worried about what's going on, I forgot to seek you, God. Because you have all the answers. See, the problem is we get so focused on the problems that we never make it to the problem solver. We get so, look, I'm going to tell you, how many of us have problems in here? Anybody? We all got problems. The biggest problem that we have is we don't focus on the one who can solve them all. There are some things that you can't fix. Josh, there's some things that we can't fix. I like to think I can fix anything. You give me a hammer and some duct tape, and we're going to fix it. But there are some things that I cannot fix. And I can't get so wrapped up in trying to fix something that I do not possess the ability or the tools to fix that I have to look to my Savior and I say, Jesus, I need you. When you are at your weakest and you are on your knees, you are so much stronger than you ever give yourself credit for. And that's when you quit feeding on ashes. That's why you need to start your day off Look, I'm going to tell you, first thing in the morning, before anything happens, before the baby cries, before you change a diaper, before you stub your toe, before you cut yourself shaving, find a place to pray. Even if it's just for a moment, Jesus, I need you today. Go before me. Help me today. Let it begin with him. Amen. We need to pray first thing in the morning because the junk of the day can contaminate your day. See, what happens if you wait to the evening to pray, now you're having to repent for everything you done did. And you know, some of y'all already know, you're dealing with all the junk of all day that you can't really have a conversation. You can't really speak to God. You can't really listen because you've already got all of this stuff that happened in your brain. And you're not able to move forward. You need to understand your spiritual strength is directly proportionate to how much fresh spiritual bread you eat daily. We know that we have to eat to be strong, amen? That's a scientific proof. You have to have so much protein to build muscle. You have to have so many carbohydrates, even though keto says no. You have to have so many nutrients to make it. But can I tell you, the same thing is true in the spiritual. If you're not eating your daily bread, if you're not finding a place to pray, eventually your spiritual man will die. He will suffer. He will get weak. It'll be harder to resist the devil because you're not as strong, because you're not getting that daily bread. And when you get that daily bread, you can overcome the attack of the enemy. I don't care how much you ate yesterday. Today's strength hinges on today's meal. Well, Brother Lawson, we had good church last Sunday. Well, that was last Sunday. What are we doing for today? What are we doing on Monday? Because Monday's coming. I don't know about you. Actually, my worst day is Tuesday. Monday, I'm still feeling the blessings of Sunday, right? But Tuesday's my toughest day. But we gotta get in the Word every day. We've got to seek him every day because you know what? The enemy's relentless and he's not going to let up. So if we're going to combat what he's doing, we have got to be in this thing every single day. I may have been fed yesterday, but I need a meal today. I may have shouted last Sunday, but I needed to cut a rug today. That's why you see me in here worshiping, because he's still as good today as he was last Sunday. He's still as good today as the day he gave me his spirit. He's still as good today as the day he healed my wife's body. He's still as good today as he's going to be when he delivers my kids. I'm going to tell you, he's worthy. Clap your hands to the Lord. I may have heard a good word last week, but I want to know today, is there a word from the Lord? I love getting a good word. I love hearing good preaching. But I need it more than just once a week. I gotta have it every day. I need a new word every day. Amen. So we know that ashes are bitter. We know that ashes provide no strength. But lastly, if you feed on them ashes too long, they're gonna make you sick. Let me go. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said unto them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us in out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. It's funny, the food that they were talking about were garlic and leeks. It's garlic and onions. They were mad because they didn't get to eat garlic and onions no more. They were mad because at least there, we got to be real careful to not get in a rut, because we can get comfortable in our rut. We can get comfortable with status quo. We can get comfortable being uncomfortable. We can get comfortable not being in the will of God because it's always been this way. We can get comfortable because it doesn't require anything extra of us. We can get comfortable because at least I'm not being fought. But can I tell you, when you're fought is when you're growing. When you have resistance is when you're moving in the right direction. Let me tell you today, the ashes of yesterday will make you sick if you dwell on them, if you continue to consume them. People grounded into mills. Moses gave them instruction concerning the manna. Take just enough for today. Don't let anything sit around to tomorrow. The Bible lets us to know that some people ignored it and kept some overnight. You know what happened to it? You know what happened to their blessings of yesterday? Turned into worms. Began to stink. The things that happened yesterday, they may have been good, but you can't live on them forever. You can't stay there forever. People grounded in mills, beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was disgusting because they were trying to make good what was yesterday. So what are you saying, Pastor? Yesterday's manna breeds worms and stinks, and if we try to eat it, it'll make us sick. But today's manna will strengthen us. Today's manna will give us everything. The fresh word for today will give you what you need for today. And the Lord knows what you need every single day. Amen. You have to make up in your mind that despite yesterday's stinky situation, today I'm looking for something new. Everything might have been sideways yesterday, but today's a brand new day. You have to get up every morning. Proverbs says this, as a man thinketh, so he is. Today's a brand new start. Yesterday I may have messed up, but today's brand new. I get to start brand new. Today's a brand new day. Jesus sees me in a brand new light. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. And you get up and you start moving. And you know what? Nobody's perfect. So you get up the next day challenging yourself to be better than the day before. Not dwelling on any failures the day before, but knowing that today I'll be better. Today I'm seeking a fresh anointing in my life. And you never reached a pinnacle. I'm looking every day for a fresh anointing. I'm looking every day for a new word from God. I'm looking every day for a fresh perspective from God. Today, I'm going to go to a higher level in my relationship with God because I've not made it yet. I've not arrived. I'm looking to go there, but I'm not there. So today, I'm going to look for that. Today, I'm going to stop letting people dictate how I see myself. I'm going to quit letting words affect me. I'm going to quit letting people's opinion of me affect me. I feel that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to quit letting the opinion of others dictate how I view myself. I'm going to get in a proper position so that I can hear from God. I'm going to shut some things out. I'm going to shut some voices out so I can hear God. I'm going to shut some entertainment out so I can hear God. I'm going to shut up so I can hear from God. It's so funny. There's a delay. Any one of us use the Bluetooth in our car and notice that there's a delay in somebody receiving a message? There's often times that my wife will be trying to tell me something important, but I just keep doing this. And she'll be like, babe, hold on. And there's that delay. She's trying to tell me something important, but I am so busy yakking, I can't hear what she's trying to tell me. I wonder how many times that is with God, that we just keep talking, complaining, asking, but we never listen. God's wanting to speak to us, and he's waiting for us to be done. But the problem is we're not done. We just keep talking, and we keep talking. Today, I'm going to get a fresh anointing. If you get a fresh anointing today, it'll help you deal with yesterday's foolishness. Amen. That foolishness that's trying to carry over today. How many of us have ever had problems that carried over? You wake up with it on your mind. Yeah. See, a fresh anointing will help you deal with that. If you get a fresh anointing today, you'll stop worrying about unpaid bills. I'm not telling you to quit your job. Stop. But you'll, everybody, all the wives looked at their husbands and say, I told you. But what I am telling you is that Jesus is going to work it out. If we will do our part and we are faithful, God will do his part. How many of us have ever seen God do the miraculous in your finances? God sends you. I can't help but testify about this. We were just in our house, and we were trying to do some stuff around the house, and we had plumbing issues a little bit. We had a sink that needed to be fixed, another sink that was leaking in the kitchen on our cabinets, and we had to call a plumber in to get it fixed because I wasn't going to work on water because that can be real dangerous. But don't you know that it wasn't very long after that y'all ever seen those letters that come that look like a check, but then it's like, you can get a loan for this amount of money. Anybody else get those advertisements? Almost threw it away. Sister Lawson opened it. She's like, babe, I'm going to need you to check this out because this can't be right. Sure enough, it was a check for like $800 out of nowhere. Something that we had been part of years ago that we'd forgotten about. It was an $800 check. And I was like, I was feeling a little salty. I ain't going to lie to y'all. How come she gets a check and I don't get one? It wasn't 2-3 days later. One exactly like it came from me. I had to pout a little bit. But after the Lord showed up, I got rid of yesterday's ashes and went to the bank and cashed that check. Can I tell you, when you quit worrying about it, how many of us have ever been so worried about our bills we took it out on our spouse? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand. You lying in the house of God. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. If you get a fresh anointing today, you'll find the strength to deal with the pains in your body that you had yesterday. You'll find the strength to deal with the physical ailments. I know this to be true because I've experienced it. See, that's the thing about trials. You get to come through them with the help of the Lord, and you get to be a testimony for somebody else. You get to tell about what the Lord did. You'll find the strength if you're able to endure it with a smile because you've put the ashes of yesterday away. When you quit focusing on everything that's going wrong and you start focus on what's going right, everything changes. And the Lord will continue to lead you. Amen. Now, I'm about finished. But ashes on the altar produces in us bitterness, weakness, and sickness. But when you get a fresh touch from God, it's the exact opposite. Hear me today. Bitterness is replaced with sweetness. I'm a much nicer guy now than before I had the Holy Ghost. I'm a much nicer guy now than when I was having to deal with the nonsense at work. It will change that. When you put the ashes away, when you deal with them, and you get that fresh touch from God, you'll become a nicer person. People want to be around you. People will be like, man, I just don't know what it is, but I just love speaking with you. Your weakness will be replaced with real strength. Weakness can be a lot of things. We automatically think about weakness in our muscles, but it can also be weakness of mind. You can let yourself go with thoughts that are completely not true because you're not strong in your mind. Your sickness can be replaced with health. I'm going to tell you, I know I said this last week, I'm going to say it again today. He's still the healer. he is still the healer. God's not dead. He's very much alive. And if he healed back in the days of that he had ministry on this earth, he can still do it today. If he did it in the book of Acts, he can still do it today. If the lame man at the gate called Beautiful can get up and walk again, I can be healed of whatever hits my body. Let me tell you today, the only reason that you're not seeing the miracle is because you're not believing like they did in Acts. All you need is a fresh touch. And he'll replace your hunger with satisfaction. If you'll stand with me today. Last Sunday I talked about people looking in dead places for a living God. That hunger that you have for something different. Can I tell you, the Lord can fill that place if you let him. Everybody is looking for something more. But can I tell you, I found it in Jesus. Everything I've ever needed, I found in him. Amen. I must be anointed with fresh oil, not old, day-old oil. The book of Numbers chapter 4 instruction is given concerning the offering of sacrifice and what the children of Israel needed to do before they could get the approval of God. And then down at verse 13 it says, and they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread it on a purple cloth. In other words, before the sacrifice could be made, before the people could worship, the ashes of yesterday's sacrifice had to be cleared. And what this is telling is that before they could ever receive God's favor, they had to get rid of the leftover residue and dress the altar. Some of you are wanting God to do something new in your life, but you're still dealing with yesterday. I'm closing, and if you need a fresh anointing from God before you can receive it, you've got to get rid of yesterday. You don't understand what happened yesterday, Brother Lawson. I don't need to.